Welcome to Meet the Candidates, a public service of WTZQ Radio. This is a platform to hear from candidates who are running in the upcoming general election to be held on November the 3rd. Now, here is your Meet the Candidates host, former publisher of the Hendersonville Times News and director of Vision Henderson County, Ruth Burge.
Welcome to Meet the Candidates. I'm your host, Ruth Burge, and I am speaking today with Jake Johnson, and Jake is a candidate for State House Representative in District 113. Welcome. We're very happy that you're here.
Ruth, thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Why in the world are you running for this?
That is certainly a good place to start. Well, I was appointed back to this seat a year ago, or close to a year ago, last August. And, I served as county commissioner for 3 years prior to that and thought we had a really, really good, successful record there in Polk County, where I was born and raised. I was born and raised right there in Saluda, North Carolina. I went to school at UNC Charlotte, came back home, ran for commissioner, and wanted to make a difference in the community that I cared about. And thought we were very successful there and began to look at what the next step was. And we had already kind of got our campaign underway when we knew the seat was going to be open. And then when the current representative or the past representative resigned, we were able to step into that role and have been very proud of our voting record since. But we just want to make sure we bring a sense of fiscal and social conservative values to the North Carolina General Assembly. I'm extremely pro-life. Pro-Second Amendment, and pro-business. I think in this state, we've seen that when we cut the red tape and lower taxes, that our economy can really boom and drives unemployment down, and it really is good for the North Carolina economy. So we want to make sure that we keep those good things going here in North Carolina.
Good. So you've got the experience. That's absolutely wonderful. Tell me about the challenges. What do you see as the challenges for our state as we are still in COVID-19 and after that?
Well, this is one of these things that, you hate it because it is a serious issue. But then you look at the reaction from some of the policies that have been implemented by our governor that have shut down our state. So the reality is, coming out of this thing, the General Assembly is going to be looking at least a $5 billion revenue shortfall and a budget of around $25 billion. So that's a huge chunk of our budget that we have seen go away just in loss of revenue because this economy has been shut down due to the executive orders. So from a budgeting standpoint, we're really going to have to look at projects and prioritize them. I think this is a time for us to look and cut away a lot of the wasteful spending from some of these departments. And then going forward, we need to look at ways to get this economy back on track. I've submitted a plan to the governor that would reopen this economy on a regional basis that could be, dialed back at levels if it need to be, but that would open up areas that have a lower infection rate to get those economies back up and running instead of this cookie cutter, one size fits all system that we've seen so far. I just have a hard time explaining to my citizens why the governor thinks we have so much in common with downtown Charlotte and downtown Raleigh when our infection rates have been lower and pretty much confined to some congregate living facilities that I think we need to make sure we quarantine and make sure we keep those people safe.
Jake, following up on that, how in the world are we going to make up that deficit?
Well, I definitely don't think the answer is just keep borrowing money at the federal level. It really frustrates me when some of my colleagues in Raleigh go, well, that's federal money. It doesn't matter to spend that because the reality is it's still paid for by taxpayers, and it's still tax dollars, and it's their money, not ours. So, I definitely don't think the answer is more borrowing at the federal level. And one of the things I've been really pushing to our federal delegation is please do not bail out states like New York and California, who were running these huge deficits prior to COVID-19, and giving them bailouts. Because the reality is North Carolina was in a very good fiscal place, and our economy was in a very good place. We had a lot of money in reserves because we had done some very smart, fiscally responsible things. and other states had not. So I will not ask North Carolina taxpayers to bail out states like New York and California. Really, the way to get it back going is to get this economy back up and running. You know, the United States is the biggest economy in the world for a reason. It's because we've got great entrepreneurship here. The spirit of the American worker is what drives this economy, not the government. So we need to let them get back to work, and the economy will correct itself.
As you look at this next term in the General Assembly, what kind of accomplishments do you think we should be doing? And of course, I know you're talking about getting the regional response, but what else do we need to be doing as you go into that first term?
So I think this has really highlighted something we, you know, an obstacle we already knew was there, and that's rural broadband. One of the things that, you know, I continually have people reach out and say is, you know, our students are at such a competitive disadvantage to those with access to high speed internet. So I think one thing we can work toward in hopefully a bipartisan manner is getting some rural broadband. I think that a kid coming out of high school here is at such a disadvantage if they have not had an opportunity to use some of the online formats and online forums and Moodles and other online portals that someone who has been using them for 4 years. There's just a comfort level there going into college or community college or whatever your field is. And so much and pretty much every field has some level of, you know, internet involvement now. And we've got to make sure our students are on a level playing field with anybody else in the state. And then another thing I want to put a huge emphasis on is trade schools. I want to put an emphasis on community college and apprenticeships, because we're seeing more and more that there's not just one path to success in this state and country. It was preached for years that you had to go to a four-year university to succeed, and that is simply not the case anymore. People can make a great living doing these trades, and we want to make sure we're promoting that at every chance, and that'll be a big part of what I do next year.
How do you promote the trade school? How do you promote the community college? That seems very difficult. We just have not gotten the kind of response from parents, I think, to ask their children to give that consideration. What would you do? How would you make that happen?
I agree. It's definitely a stigma that we've drove into people's minds over the past, especially 10 to 20 years, that you have to go to these four-year universities. I think the way we change that, one, we have to be serious about the way we fund these programs, community colleges, apprenticeships, and trade schools. We're going to get very serious about how we fund those. That's going to be a priority of mine. It's also our job to make sure we're talking about it, and these high school kids know what their opportunities are. As you know, as an elected official, I'm really going to take it on myself when I have a chance and platforms just like this and others to say, listen, if it's something, you know, if you're not sure what you want to do, go tour these facilities, go talk to the managers of these facilities, go talk to someone in these fields that, you know, they're probably looking at retiring. There's a lot of people in these fields that will be retiring in the next 5 to 10 years. There's going to be a huge, huge demand where you can make a really good living doing these things. So, and it's our job just to make sure people know that and, you know, not make the decision for them, but put the facts out there. You know, if you go to a four-year school, there's a good chance you're going to come out with some student debt. And the job market might not be as demanding around here as if you went to a, you know, a trade school or a community college and come out making a great salary and there's a huge demand for it.
You're right. You're absolutely right. The apprenticeship program is such a great thing, and we have such a good one here at the local Blue Ridge Community College. That's
absolutely
for sure. So I'm sorry I had to make that pitch.
Absolutely.
Yes, great. Well, okay, Jake, tell us how, if people want to get in touch with you and learn more about your platform, how would they do that?
Absolutely. One thing we've really prided ourselves on since being in office is our constituent services, too. So if you need anything on the official end, feel free to reach out to our office. Sometimes the easiest way is just to send us an email at jake.johnson@ncledge. That was leg.gov, and that will come to our legislative email, or you can usually just Google Jake Johnson, North Carolina General Assembly, and it'll come up there. Our office does a great job processing claims for people, and that's something that from day one I said we were going to take very seriously. And then on our campaign side, if you have any inquiries or would like to get involved, It's www.jake4nc, four spelled out, F-O-R.com. So jake4nc.com. And it will bring you to our campaign site. There's a contact link on there, and that will come straight to our team. And we'd love to get you plugged in.
Great. Jake, thank you so very much. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Ruth, thank you so much for having us on. Thank you. And I'll just be, if anybody has any questions for me, we want to be very transparent about where we're at. And I appreciate the opportunity to talk about our platform.
You've been listening to Meet the Candidates on WTZQ with host Ruth Burge. All local candidates who are running in the upcoming election to be held on November the 3rd have been contacted to participate. Equal time will be made available for all candidates.